All right, this is the last of the pre-practicum meetings. So you'll be 15 minutes into the practicum with 1 week from now. And hopefully by then you'll be prepared. Did you already receive the announcement about the open lab? When is that? Is it 3 to 5 on Friday? If no one's here yet at 3, that just means Herb's class went a little long. He'll be here, though. I won't be here, but Herb will be. So the stuff that you've looked at in previous sessions will be out. Actually, a lot of that stuff is also sitting out tonight over in that corner by the refrigerator. So feel free to take a look at that stuff, but be careful with it. Keep it organized. When you're done with something, put it back exactly where it was found. All the other stuff is just for tonight, as usual. And what's the big topic for tonight? Yeah, fungi. Plus, you also had one section from the protists chapter for slime molds, right? What is it that protist means? What is it? What does the word protist mean? Or what is included in the group we call protists, even though it's not a monophyletic taxon? This is old stuff. This is not for today. What do we mean by protist? Anyone? These pauses make the recordings hard to listen to. Well, I guess I could start just calling on people and giving points. But I don't think you want me to do that. So who is it that knows and just refuses to just tell me? Or who is it that'd like to guess and risk the no penalty at all and no embarrassment at all and not know? You're already demonstrating that you don't know. So why would you be afraid to be wrong in front of a class that doesn't know? Let's take a guess. We've already discussed this. What are protists? You want to guess? Well, what kind of cells make up protists? Right? So they are eukaryotes. You certainly could have guessed that. Don't be afraid to guess. But it's eukaryotes is bigger than protists, right? Only some eukaryotes are protists. So which ones are protists? So why didn't you tell me that originally? Yeah, a protist is any eukaryote other than a plant, an animal, or a fungus. Plants, animals, and fungi, those are three monophyletic taxons. Those are true monophyletic groups. And what does all three of those have in common? What do animals, plants, and fungi share as far as how the organisms are arranged? Yeah, they're the multicellular eukaryotes. So that's why sometimes protist is used roughly to mean unicellular eukaryote. But that's not quite right either, because there are some multicellular prokaryotes that you've looked at. What's an example of a multicellular prokaryote? What kind of algae? Which are the ones that get the biggest? Brown. Brown algae or kelp, they can be huge. So there are multicellular protists, but most of them are unicellular. But another example of a multicellular protist is a slime mold, which is part of what you're looking at tonight. Although it depends on which part of the life cycle you're talking about, because slime molds are pretty weird. They kind of defy categorization as in terms of being unicellular or multicellular. Strains the definition. A multicellular organism is one that has not only has multiple cells, but multiple different kinds of cells that work together in an individual. Well, slime molds can live perfectly happily as individual cells, but if conditions change, then they can get together and form a big mass, which is how they got the name slime mold, that oozes across the surface and kind of pulsates. Pretty cool looking stuff, actually. And then eventually, when the food runs out, they'll kind of dry out and form a big fruiting body, some of the cells of which will crawl up this fruiting body and produce spores that become individual cells, and the process starts over again. So they're pretty weird, but they're not true fungi, which is why they were in that protist chapter. The majority of tonight's stuff, though, is about true fungi, which can be multicellular. Most of them are multicellular, but it's also possible to be a unicellular fungus. For instance, yeast, and there are different kinds of yeast, are unicellular fungi. By the way, the group fungi, which includes things like mushrooms and toadstools and morels and things like that. If you were to ask someone who's never had a biology course, they would probably say that fungi are more closely related to plants than animals. They don't seem very much like us. They seem like plants because they are planted in the ground. I mean, by planted, I don't mean someone planted them. I mean they are stuck to the ground, which is why plants are called that, right? But really, when you get down to the molecular detail, genetic analysis, phylogenetic analysis, fungi are more closely related to us animals than they are to plants. And that should make sense. First of all, even just the fact that they're stuck to the ground is about the only similarity between fungi and plants. For instance, plants are photosynthetic, right? They're autotrophs, whereas fungi are not. They're heterotrophs, just like we animals are. And if you think about the nutritional way of life, fungi are similar to us animals as well. Animals eat things, which means they put them into some cavity in their body. Fungi don't do that. But that's kind of an artificial difference. Because if you think about your own alimentary canal, what is the alimentary canal? Anyone know? Aliment means nutrient or food. So the alimentary canal is another name for the digestive tract. It's the continuous tube that goes all the way from mouth to anus. And so that tube is what the interior of that tube, the lumen, is really not in your body. Instead, your body wraps around this hollow thing. So your body's kind of like a bagel with a hole in it, right? If you stick your finger in the hole of a bagel, you're not sticking your finger into the bagel, right? And similarly, anything that's in your digestive tract is really not inside your body. Your body is made up of the cells that surround this tube. And so what do? We don't put food into our body. We put it into the tube, which is really outside of our body. And then we secrete enzymes into that tube from the cells that line that tube. And those enzymes break down the food into small enough molecules so that they can then be absorbed through the membranes of the cells that do line that tube, and then they're officially in your body. By then, it's not food, though. It's individual molecules. All right? Fungi do the same thing. They just don't have a canal inside their body. Instead, they spread out onto a surface whatever they're going to eat, and they secrete their enzymes directly onto that surface. But it's really just another version of what we're doing. The big difference is they don't get up and walk around. They don't have a jaw to eat something to put into this special chamber. They just grow on whatever they're eating. What's the basic body plan of a fungus? Well, they are made up of little strands called what? What is an individual strand called? Have you talked about these in lecture at all, by the way? Well, I see yes and no, one of which has to be wrong. What are they? Oh, okay, just not much. What is the name of an individual strand that makes up a body of a fungus? A hypha, H-Y-P-H-A, and the plural is hyphae, an E at the end. A collection of hyphae gets another name. A hypha is just one of those little filaments. All of them together make up what? What's that word? Mycelium. And by the way, M-Y-C, when you see that in words as a combining form, either myc or myco, that means fungus. So the branch of biology dealing with the study of fungi is mycology. Mycologist is a biologist who specializes in fungi. But anyway, the mycelium is basically the body of the fungus, if it's a multicellular fungus. And then if conditions are right for reproduction, something can grow out of that mycelium, a fruiting body of some sort, like a mushroom, for instance, depending on the species. Now think back to what I told you about fungi when we weren't talking about fungi, but instead plants. I went through the basics of sexual life cycles, right? All of them feature the alternation between fertilization and meiosis. But fungi, remember, are kind of like the opposite of animals. Because animals have as their dominant stage the diploid stage. You are a diploid individual as an animal. You produce a haploid sperm or egg that doesn't live very long by itself, right? It's there to make the next generation of diploid individuals. Whereas in fungi, the cells that make up the body of that individual are haploid, not diploid. And therefore, they do not produce gametes by meiosis. Doesn't make sense for a haploid cell to undergo meiosis, right? It's already at the situation of having only one of each kind of chromosome. You can't split it into two. So, since they're already haploid, they produce gametes by mitosis. And this is in the species that are able to reproduce sexually, which are most fungi. There are some exceptions, though. And just as in us, those gametes get together in fertilization. Well, actually, it's not just like us. Let me pause there and say a major difference. It's effectively the same, but there's an important difference. For animals and plants, there is simple fertilization, meaning that there is a union of the nuclear contents and the cytoplasm basically in one shot. The two gametes get together to form one zygote. In a lot of fungal species, the two gametes fuse, so they're now one cell, and that process is called plasmogamy, but the two nuclei remain separate for a while. So it's one nucleus, it's one cell with two nuclei, one from each of the two gametes. But shortly after that, then you have karyogamy, and karyo, remember, means nucleus. That's when the nuclei actually combine. And so the combination of plasmogamy and karyogamy make up what in us is called fertilization. But anyway, when that happens, now you have a diploid cell, but if that were an animal zygote, a diploid zygote, if that were an animal, that zygote would undergo mitosis so that it could become multicellular and diploid to form the adult, like you. But in fungi, that zygote, as soon as it's formed, undergoes meiosis right away, doesn't become multicellular diploid. That zygote will undergo meiosis to produce haploid cells, and each haploid cell will then undergo mitosis to become a whole new haploid adult fungus. All right. What does meiosis? Meiosis produces spores instead of gametes. Those cells are spores. And mitosis is what produces the gametes in fungi. So that's a major difference. By the way, I mentioned that fungi are more related to animals than they are to plants. Another bit of evidence that goes along with that, other than what I've told you about the nutrition, is that fungi have cell walls like plants do. Animals don't. Plant cells have cell walls, and if you just leave the sentence where it is, you would say, well, that's something that's plant-like. Except the cell walls in plants is made out of what? Cellulose, whereas the cell walls of fungi is made out of what? Chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N, which is the same stuff that some animals produce, like insects. That's what makes their exoskeleton hard. All right, so that's more of an animal trait. And another one is that when plants make a storage polysaccharide, which is a polysaccharide for the purpose of storing extra glucose, what do we call that stuff in plants? How do plants store their extra glucose by linking those glucoses together? What is that stuff called? That's starch. Starch is the primary plant polysaccharide for storage, or storage polysaccharide. Animals do the same thing, but they link the glucoses together slightly differently with more branching. And what is our version of storage polysaccharide called? What do we store our extra glucose as? Anyone know the name of that? That's glycogen. It's a major function of your liver. When you have extra food, more than you need for the moment, the liver will take that extra glucose, string it together, and form glycogen, which after a while, if you haven't eaten, it will break back down into glucose and spill it back into the blood so your brain can stay alive. Well, fungi also form glycogen as their storage polysaccharide, so that's another closeness between us and them compared to either one of us versus plants. All right, so there are more phyla within the kingdom fungi than are in this book. I just want you to be aware of that. And it's changing all the time, by the way, because phylogenies change all the time as we get newer and newer evidence. But what are the four phyla that the book lists for fungi? What is it?
I don't know
how to pronounce it. Chytridia mycota is one of them. That's the CH one. Chytridia mycota. What did you say another one is?
Is it zygomycota?
That's a second one. Zygomycota. Ascomycota. And basidiomycota. Right. Notice that they all have MYC in them, meaning fungus. The Chytridiomycota are single-celled and aquatic, so they live in water. They don't form big bodies. And that chytrid part of the word comes from a word that means like a small pot. Their cells look like a little earthen pot. That's what the word means. So someone named them for how they looked. What's weird about them, other than being unicellular, which isn't all that weird, the main weirdness of them compared to all other fungi is that they have flagella, which is not really a fungus trait. You see that in other kinds of taxa, but not so much in fungi. But Chytridia mycota do have flagella. The next one, Zygomycota, they have that zygo in their word, which refers to zygote. And so make sure you study that table that shows you the major features of each of these four. Those two together don't include all that many species compared to the other two I'm about to describe next. Basidiomycota and Ascomycota have many more species in them, at least that we've discovered, than those first two phyla do. And of those two, Basidiomycota and Ascomycota, which one has the most of all in it? Ascomycota is the biggest fungal phylum. So most fungi, most fungal species are in Ascomycota. But the ones that are most familiar to most people, the things that you tend to think of if you think fungus, are in Basidiomycota. Ascomycota get their name from asci, which is the plural of ascus, which means little sac. And that's because they produce these little sac-like structures. And Basidiomycota comes from basidium, a structure that they make. So Ascomycota are familiarly called sac fungi because of their asci. Basidiomycota are familiarly called club fungi because of their appearance. The basidia that they make, well, they're named that because that comes from the same word that is used in the word basis or base. But anyway, the basidia are the defining structures for Basidiomycota. And so, as usual, get a good look at this stuff. Take pictures. And if you want to, look at the previous stuff. That's, of course, not required. That's out there for you to use if you want. And if you're not going to look at it tonight, I encourage you to at least come on Friday during those 2 hours and take a look at stuff. When you come back on Friday, if you do come back on Friday, take pictures of stuff you didn't photograph before. It'll be more spread out then, because today is mostly for the fungi. Okay, I'll end it there.